Welcome to the SCMS Classical Conversation Podcast, recorded in the new Center for Chamber Music during the Seattle Chamber Music Society's 2020 Virtual Summer Festival. I'm Dave Beck from Classical King FM. I hope you enjoy these in-depth conversations with festival musicians. You can find more episodes at seattlechambermusic.org and most podcasting platforms. Please rate and review us wherever you listen. During the regular concert season, Orion Weiss plays concertos with great orchestras like the Chicago and Boston Symphonies and the Los Angeles and New York Philharmonic Orchestras. In part two of our conversation with Orion at the 2020 SCMS Virtual Summer Festival, he talks about the different colors of adrenaline he experienced early in his career when he was called on short notice to perform in place of prominent orchestral soloists who had taken ill. Orion also reveals how working with a therapist helped him learn to fall back in love with the Edvard Grieg piano concerto. We've had wonderful visits by your teacher, Emmanuel Ax, for concertos in recent seasons with the Seattle Symphony. Incredible legacy of recording and performance and teaching. What stands out for you mostly about studying with him? I mean, what did you take away from that?
Oh, he's such a, I mean, he's, there's so many different levels that he's my hero. I mean, the musical level is obviously was, that was the, how our relationship was formed. But now there's, he's such a, an inspiration in his outlook on the music world and on just as a person, and his the way he's managed to balance his incredible performing career with his family life. All those things are like just, He's amazing, and he's just so kind and modest. Anyway, as a musician, I remember going to his Carnegie recitals and just being just so completely blown away, not even knowing where to begin. But as a teacher, he was always he was more like a guide, or he would just tell me what he think what he thought wouldn't work if it didn't work. He'd say, he wouldn't tell me what to do. That's what I'm trying to say. He wouldn't ever tell me it has to be this way, mm-hmm. or force me down one path. He would just sort of say, I'm not sure what you're doing is quite working, maybe because of this or because of that. And then he would let me sort of try and, I think he wanted to nurture my own artistry and not, didn't want to ever spoon feed anything to me. Mm-hmm. But he's, I've had the opportunity to play with him a few times, which is also like another kind of masterclass in its own, just playing four hands or two pianos with him.
Mm-hmm. Was there a particular composer or style that really stood out in terms of working with him? Or?
Well, you know, I do. You know, the problem is that I was 18, 19, 20, and 21 when I was studying with him, and I would love to do it again. Now, you know, at that point, I was just like a, what's the word? Like a, I was a callow youth. You know, I was practicing, but I sometimes he would teach me on Monday and Tuesday, and I would take Wednesday and Thursday off. Why would I take them off? I should have gotten right back to work. And now I think about that, but I do wish also is that I would had played even a wider variety of repertoire for him. I mean, I played a lot, but there was so much more that I, but you know, and but then recently I remember actually no after I graduated Juilliard, so it was my fifth year of knowing him, I asked him for a lesson. He said, you don't need a lesson anymore. So I thought that was maybe a not that he was right, I didn't need a lesson, but that I should figure out how to do it on my own more. Yeah.
We were playing some Andre Watts recordings on King FM recently, and just kind of going through his biography, and he stepped in at the last minute for Glenn Gould playing a Liszt piano concerto with Bernstein in the New York Philharmonic. This was in 1963. And I love reading that in 1999, you filled in at the last minute for Andre Watts, in this case, playing a Shostakovich concerto, if I'm getting this all right.
That's totally right, yeah.
Yeah, I guess we would have been about the same age that Andre Watts was when this happened to you, a teenager still.
Yes, yeah. Well, and that sort of, it goes back a little bit to the Perlman Music Program, just in that I played this concert in Baltimore, which was a cancellation, and I didn't know that anything was going to come of it, but because a couple of managers heard me there, and because Itzhak Perlman knew me from the camp, and we'd played together, and we became close. And he suggested his manager to look at me before other managers grabbed me up. And so right from this one concert, all of a sudden, I started getting, I started working with a manager who was finding me more concerts, and it became gave me my first step into the professional world and like a footing there. So it was a lot of lucky things from just saying yes. But the phone call for this cancellation, when I got it, I remember talking to a teacher, the teacher who had actually recommended me for the cancellation. And I said, "Mr. Bobbian, what should I do?" And he said, "What do you mean, what should you do? Don't be an idiot. You have to say yes." And I was resistant because I think I had plans that weekend with high school friends. But I did. I went to
Callow
to
youth.
Yeah, exactly. So... But it's hard. I mean, cancellations, they still happen. Sometimes they're you can build a long relationship from something like that because you're coming in sort of as the hero on horseback.
Yeah, maybe I ask people too much about these stories, but I just think that they're just the adrenaline, if nothing else.
Yes. It's amazing also all the different forms of adrenaline. There's all these different like colors of adrenaline. Like some adrenaline is like, burns for so, like, you know about a concert that's scaring you 2 years in advance, and you get every night, every time you think about it, you get that jolt of adrenaline, and to the point that by the time you get to it, sometimes you're just burned out from it. But something like a cancellation where you just have to do it and you just focus on doing it, and you don't have a long build up about getting nervous, and sometimes those go you just play the best, you just. Yeah. The adrenaline is like the kind that really focuses you rather than sends you thinking about, I don't know, what you should have done. Or
this was that whole year just seems extraordinary to me because I think it was Cleveland Orchestra, and then it was the Baltimore. It was one after another, and then I think maybe it was Baltimore that then booked you shortly after.
Yes,
that.
Wow, so. You remember? Yeah, it's amazing.
Such a remarkable sequence.
All that stuff happened fast at the beginning, but. I was still going to Juilliard, and Juilliard had limits on how often I could be gone. The manager that I was working with was talking with me and with my teachers about sort of not throwing me into a 50 concert a year or even more schedule. I was playing a few times, and I was building my repertoire, learning more and more concertos. And I've always sort of felt like my career has never been different than where I wanted it to be. So at that point, I was not too busy, but I was getting to play and getting these experiences, and chamber music started to enter into my life while I was at Juilliard. I mean, into my professional life is what I'm trying to say. And especially actually Seattle was a huge part of that. From this festival, when I came in, which I'd already graduated from school, but I came here and made so many musical connections. Every time I would come to the festival, winter and summer, I would come away with real friendships and real musical friendships that we would pursue outside of the festival. So I would be playing all of a sudden in a different festival just because someone met me in Seattle, or playing recitals with someone because I met them in Seattle. So yeah, I mean my career is sort of. It just built like a quilt, sort of like adding a square at a time until some squares get moth-eaten and disappear, but other ones are adding more and more. So it sort of it feels natural.
Well, I remember in the previous conversation we had, you said that you were doing a lot of chamber music for the first time right here in Seattle.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember. I used to really think that at some point I would never have to practice in the summer anymore because I would know all the music. I've learned a whole heck of a lot of the chamber music, and there's still a lot more to learn. And then you got to practice the old stuff too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Even here I'm playing all pieces that I've played before, but I'm working really hard to get them. Yeah.
Oh, there's, what are you especially excited to be playing? I have the pleasure here this afternoon. You're working on the Schubert B-flat trio with Anias Navorian and Benjamin Beilman, and it was just wonderful just to get a little taste of that. So that's one.
It's all these pieces are wonderful, and all the people I'm playing with are so great. So I don't know if there's any, you know. Of course, the Ravel trio is so Ravel trio. I'm looking forward to, and it's so hard. it's like that's the most physically hard of almost all chamber music. Just mm-hmm. like, you know, I guess Tchaikovsky Trio and Schubert E flat, those are all really hard, but Ravel's got really special kind of acrobatic quality to it. So I'm looking forward to that in the way that I'm practicing it already, even though it's still a week off before we're gonna record it. Oh, but everything, I mean, that's what's so great about the repertoire is that if you play Debussy one night and Schubert the next, you couldn't live with it without either of them. But mm-hmm. what a huge world just those two composers already sort of outline. So yeah.
I'm excited too, and I don't know where this is in your repertory, but Bob Demain and you'll be playing the Grieg Sonata.
Yes.
Which I don't feel like you hear the Grieg Sonata quite as often.
No, the Grieg cello sonata it's not played that much.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the most popular of his chamber music sonatas is the third, the C minor violin sonata. Mm-hmm. That gets played a lot. And with James Ennis here, we've done the second, the G major, and the first, which is, oh my God, I don't remember what key the first is in. But I loved learning that with him. F major, the
that
first
sounds
is
right.
F major. Yes. Mm-hmm. So the Grieg cello sonata is. Well, it's an A minor, and it's the same key as his most famous piece, the Piano Concerto, and actually there are some direct quotes from the Piano Concerto. So there must have been he must have had it in his mind, and well, the story that I know is that his brother
was a cellist.
His brother was a cellist, mm-hmm. and they were estranged, and I think he wrote this piece for him, but I don't think they ever played it together.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful piece. It's got a lot of similarities to the concerto too, even besides the motivically thing, like the ideas, the dancing quality of it. And
mm-hmm. Do you know that Seattle is a sister city of Bergen, Norway?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, sometimes I tell musicians you got to go over to the University of Washington campus, and not so far from the music school, there's a bust of Edvard Grieg from 1909.
Oh, wow.
And they've built a little garden around it, the Sister City Association, and it's a beautiful place to just sit and eat lunch when we can go back outside.
Oh, yeah. But
you'll have to take a pilgrimage over.
I really love Grieg. There's something... Yeah. It's something so personal and unique about his music, and I always find it like uplifting and sort of sets the spirit free in a way that mm-hmm. a lot of other composers don't. So
do you go out and play the Grieg Concerto? Is that
I played it at one point so much that I started to feel like I was sick of it, and then I was talking with my therapist about it, and I said I'm so sick of this Grieg Concerto, and he said, do you like the piece? And I was like, yeah, I totally love it. And that sort of set me thinking about, oh, if I love it, then let's try and figure out what to love about it more. And so that was a good line from him. It was worth his time right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the music, the Grieg Concerto is like, it's evergreen, you know? It's mm-hmm. it's so inventive and inspired and so imaginative, and the characters are so vivid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that piece.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Classical Conversation Podcast. The podcast is a co-production of Seattle Chamber Music Society and Classical King FM. Bill Levy is our recording engineer. You can find more episodes at seattlechambermusic.org and most podcasting platforms. Please rate and review us when you listen. The podcast is produced by Nikhil Sarma and Rachel Siprati. To learn more, go to seattlechambermusic.org. I'm Dave Beck.